Osama bin Laden was a wicked man. He was responsible for the deaths of perhaps tens of thousands of people all over the world of different races and ethnicities and religions. And something maybe even more subtle and insidious, he was one of the worst fear-mongers in recent times. Just think how the events of September 11th will just haunt and nag at the consciousness of everybody on the planet. St. John said that perfect love casts out all fear. That's why I think there's a special opprobrium for people who produce fear in us. And I think bin Laden certainly did that for almost everybody on the planet. I think it's hard to doubt the truth of what President Obama said, namely that with him out of the picture, the world is a better place, certainly a safer place. I heard about Osama's death when I was in Rome for Pope John Paul's beatification. And then I watched, you know, for an hour or so, the intense coverage on CNN and the BBC. And I saw these scenes of Americans celebrating. Think of that. I think it was the Mets-Phillies game, you know, when the chants of USA went around the stadium. Then people at the White House, people at Times Square, and also at Ground Zero, giving voice to this, you know, extraordinary joy and celebration in the wake of this this event. And I certainly understand all those feelings. In fact, I felt a lot of that, too, as I watched these. I felt this rush of patriotism. But also, just that relief that comes when a terrible threat has been removed. They reminded me, in some ways, of the celebrations after World War II. Those scenes in New York and elsewhere where people are just, you know, exulting with joy. So I get all that, and I sympathize with it. However, in the midst of all this, there was this kind of still, small voice that was heard. It was the voice of Pope Benedict XVI, who said, quietly but insistently, "It's wrong ever to celebrate the death of another human being, no matter how vile he is." Now, I don't think Pope Benedict XVI is under any illusions about Osama bin Laden. I don't think he would hesitate for a moment to refer to him as one of the wickedest people in the world. But the Pope is reminding Christians especially of a truth that's at the very heart of our moral system, namely the love of enemies. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You've heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who maltreat you. Someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn and give them the other." Now, as I've explained before in other videos, this has nothing to do with naivete or sentimentality. Christianity, above all, with its doctrine of original sin, knows how depraved we are. We reject all programs of human perfectibility. We know how ready human beings are to be violent and twisted and depraved. So we're not talking about naivete. What we're talking about is a deep, I call it metaphysical and religious perception, that we are all, through God, connected to each other. And therefore our enmity, our violence, our wickedness is not telling the deepest truth about us. We're not denying any of that for a minute. We're not saying it's not real, but we are saying it's not telling the deepest truth. The deepest truth is that through God, we are all brothers and sisters to one another. We are all, therefore, on for each other, implicated in each other. Now, just to keep the balance always clear, because this is a subtle thing to talk about. I'm not denying, and the Catholic tradition wouldn't deny for a minute, that wicked people should be brought to justice. They should. Wicked people should be stopped. They should be arrested in their wickedness. And even at the limit, put to death. Let's say in the case of these Navy SEALs who were trying to get bin Laden, I mean, if he's firing back at them and they have a right to defend themselves and all that, I'm not denying any of that, that wicked people should be brought to justice. But I am saying that wickedness and evil is not telling the deepest truth. And the Christian moral system is predicated upon this deep truth of our connection to each other and therefore the obligation to love, yes, our friends, but even especially to love our enemies. Now, what does it look like in practice? There are heroic, really shining examples of it. Think of, remember many years ago, the Amish couple who lost their son in a great act of violence. This young man killed their son, but the Amish couple defended their son's killer, even going to the point of helping him in court, visiting him in jail. Heroic example of it. Or think of Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, you know, who goes to visit and he anoints the young man who had falsely accused him of sexual misconduct. I mean, there are those really shining examples of enemy love. But I think all of us, you know, who aren't saints, maybe aren't capable of that kind of heroic expression, all of us can at the very least pray for those who maltreat us. That's why I found it very moving, actually, that the American soldiers, the sailors on the ship, gave Osama bin Laden an Islamic burial before they buried him at sea, an Islamic service. They prayed for him. Wicked man, yes. Terrible man, yes indeed. The world a safer place without him, absolutely. But even Osama bin Laden is our brother. Even this great enemy of the human race is our brother, and therefore he has to be loved. What should we do? Should we celebrate that this threat's been removed? Yeah. Should we celebrate even with a sense of patriotic fervor? Okay. But in the midst of that, we should also pray for this man who is our enemy.